This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. Time to hit you with the crown topic of the day. We started the show talking about the Yankees, and Gerrit Cole opts out only to opt back in, so no harm, no foul there. They have their ace, but now what's next? And obviously the big piece is going to be Juan Soto. For me, though, BT, I do think we need to understand that money is a realistic issue here with the Yankees and Juan Soto and how they build the rest of their team out, but it shouldn't be. They're either trying to trim the payroll or trying to win the World Series. I don't think you could do both. And half weighing it is maybe where the Yankees got themselves into some trouble. One move definitively that I would make to try to clean up this roster and build a better baseball team with baseball players is move on from Giancarlo Stanton one way or another. I'd look to trade him if you possibly could. If not, I'd look to cut him and just have that spot open. Mm-hmm. And look, you're going to have to spend. I want Soto back because of the player that he is. My initial thought was thinking like, hey, well, the Yankees can't afford to do much more if they bring back Soto, so maybe that wouldn't be the right move. But the reality is you want to keep the best players and then build out from there. There are many ways the Yankees could go. I think it starts with bringing Soto back, getting rid of Stanton, and then bringing in some more pieces.
Yeah, but I think that I could push back on the thought that you can't trim payroll and win the World Series. The Yankees, now, they were mightily outclassed in the World Series, as we saw, and they had an easier road to get there. But they got to the World Series, and outside of the Soto move, they did nothing. You know, so I think that this is going to be complicated. I don't think that it's easy, you know, but Torres is going to be gone. And Torres was, even though he brought some good things to the table, was an issue. You save money there. You save money from Rizzo. You save money from Holmes. They can handle the finances however they want. But I think that there's, I think, I don't know this for sure. I feel like there's an awakening in the franchise.
Right, but you said the same thing last year.
Yeah, well,
so
yes.
So tell me how. Tell me how, though.
Okay, I think that it was so in their face that unless they're idiots, and I don't think the Yankees are idiots, I don't think they're necessarily ahead of the curve the way they used to be or need to be, and hopefully that changes, but they're definitely not idiots. So I think it was so in their face that if they're not embarrassed by the comments from their opposition. And, yeah, we could just say, oh, it's Joe Kelly. All right. Kelly popping off after having seven beers at the parade. Okay, great. But it's not that, because it was Joel Sherman's scathing article that, you know, how the Yankees were scouted and how glaring their deficiencies were and how easy it was to attack them. I mean, basically, now, not that this was Joel Sherman's intent, because he's not in bed with the Yankees. He's a writer and a good one who's well-sourced. Basically, though, what Joel Sherman did was, hey, guys, here is a blueprint for change. Now it's up to you to do something with it. And if they don't, then I'm out of answers. I don't know what to tell you at that point.
Okay.
So if that's not the wake-up call, then one's never coming.
Understood. But then the question is, okay, well, they got the wake-up call, so now how are they going to change it? And if I were to ask you the main three culprits, see, this is where it's consistent. I said the same thing last offseason as I'm going to say again this offseason because they didn't change anything. Who would be your top three culprits for how they've built this team right now? Three problems going into last year and then again this offseason.
Okay, so you don't mean Cashman, Bill, you mean
players.
Players,
yeah.
Stanton,
yep.
Torres,
yep.
And
You mentioned him before, but we kind of forgot about him because he got hurt.
DJ?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, DJ, yes, because they...
Those are going into last year.
Yeah.
Those
going into last year. Yes. Yeah, then DJ was on the list, sure. Well, yeah, yeah, okay. DJ's
going
on that
into
list.
Last year,
but he's a distant third.
My big issue last year, and you and I discussed this together, we both didn't like Torres, we both didn't love Stanton, and we both didn't like LeMahieu.
No.
But yet all three were back, and then I still didn't believe in the team. I know you get sucked up in Soto, the Yankees' hot start fooled everybody, whatever it may be. Here we are, an offseason later. Gleyber is now gone. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's one. That we at least got one out of the way. The other two are still there. And, are they cutting LeMahieu? Or is he going to be back? Are they going to sell us that he's going to be the third baseman? Jazz is going to be at second base. They bring back Soto. Maybe they add a first base. Like, or maybe LeMahieu plays first. They add a third. Like, that's still a possibility. So for me, fundamentally, like, yeah, they can acknowledge that they have a problem. How are you going to change it? They thought they did. They thought they did last year by bringing in Soto, Verdugo, Stroman. It wasn't enough. That's proven now. It was not enough. They were fundamentally flawed every step of the way. Yeah, they got to the World Series. They were flawed. So how are you going to change it on top of how are you going to change it while keeping Juan Soto and also trying to stay under the luxury tax threshold?
Well, I mean, the luxury tax eventually is going to have to be blown by. I don't disagree with Hal's notion that it shouldn't require $300 million every year to go out and win something. I get that. But, look at where the money's coming from. It's dead weight. So you almost have to bake that into what you do, take it on the chin, hopefully win, and then eventually, Stanton's guy. And I would trade Stanton to Angie Dream.
Right.
We talked about that earlier.
Yes.
But I think you have to take certain things on the chin until it gets a little bit more appealing maybe for other teams to trade for your dead weight. You know, with the Marlins kicking the money, mm-hmm. $10 million for Stanton, not next year, but the 3 years after that. The Yankees can defray some of the costs, say, hey, we'll give you Stanton and a prospect, and we'll the Marlins 10, and we'll kick in 5 or 10, so you're getting a guy for $9 or $10 million. Like, there's ways to do this, but here's what's encouraging about the Yankees. To me, now left field, I got to see what they do there. But at least in the infield, their biggest deficiencies this year, because I don't love Jazz at third. I can't let him play third base. He's not terrible, but he's not good enough to justify playing third. There's not a lot of good free agents out there. There's simply not. It's very weak and it's very thin. However, I think their two biggest deficiencies, first base and third base, are addressable via free agency if they've got the appetite to do it. Christian Walker, all right, lesser extent Pete. I don't want Pete. He's not a great fielder. Walker's better. I've said that a million times. And obviously, Bregman from the Astros. Now, you want to tell me, listen, I don't know what Cashman's thinking because he always brings up the fact that the Astros cheated. Would he be able to, suck it up and say, all right, Bregman's going to help us win? I don't know. He was a part of that cheating scandal. And there's things I don't know the answer to, but I am providing some solutions, some tangible solutions. Keep Soto, get one of those two guys, either Walker or Bregman, and go from there.
Yeah, and to me, that's still, that's still the same thing that they've been doing. While you bring in, a different player or two, I still think it's the same issue.
It's not the same. Well, okay, go ahead. Same issue in terms of what are they missing at that point?
How are they? You said you want to bring back Soto. Where's Judge playing?
Okay, so think, I'm going to walk
well,
me.
Judge
I'm
gonna, is
I'm
here.
Gonna, well, I mean, yeah. Center or right. I mean, that's the short answer. If Soto's here, he's playing center. Or he's going to play left, or Soto plays left. Soto played left for the Padres.
Okay, so
he can't go out there.
So
if Dominguez is in center, Soto's in left, Judge is in right. If Dominguez is in center, Judge can play left, Soto in right. Or if Dominguez isn't good enough, you have Judge in center, which I don't love, Soto in right, and you got to figure out left field.
Judge can't play center. He's
what
not a center
Jazz?
Fielder. Now you need a second baseman. And you're going to put Jazz in center field?
What about Peraza at second base?
Let's just say they go Judge in left, Soto in right. You need a center fielder, you need a first baseman, a third baseman, and you still have Stanton and LeMahieu, and I'm assuming they're going to take two of those spots.
Yeah. Now, again, there's a lot here, and it's not easy. I'm giving you that. Close your eyes, and as you think about what's the one play outside of Cole and Rizzo mm-hmm. at first base, what's the play that you will forever remember? There's two from the World Series, defensively.
Yeah, you're talking about the Judge.
Well, that's the Judge pop up in center field or soft liner, and to me, it's the inability for Gleyber Torres to keep the ball in.
Yeah,
just the ball's now, nobody's back. And it's just a mess, right? And Torres is gone. You put Jazz at second, and that's his best position.
Understood.
People need to understand that.
Yeah, understood.
So when you say not much has changed, I think a whole hell of a lot's changed just by getting rid of Torres' indifference.
No, okay, that's
he's not
one.
The only culprit. He's one of the big ones.
All right, so let's say they
Jazz
signed
at second.
Yeah, Jazz at second.
Volpe at short.
Yeah. Which, by the way, you know, year three for Volpe. Maybe this year he could actually hit, I don't know what, 20 homers and 280?
Yeah, but I'm not. Well, I don't
from a superstar shortstop?
No, he's not a superstar. Well, but that's what the who's saying he's a superstar?
Well, Cashman. I thought he was going to be a superstar. I brought it up to Brian Cashman. Yep. He said I was right. He thought so, too. Well, guess what? We're both wrong.
You did bring that up. I don't think he'll ever be a superstar. You know, the play where he short-hopped it to Jazz over third base.
I do still think he's got that potential. But I think that's
superstar? I don't think he's got superstar potential.
And that's still, by the way, a big piece to the puzzle.
Yeah.
Like that's part of my issue. Like and you just throw Dominguez out there. Okay, well Dominguez, Dominguez couldn't field to a point where the Yankees couldn't use him in the postseason. He couldn't field left field. I'm supposed to believe he's a good defensive center fielder now. I don't know, but
no, that's a leap. Again,
based
I'm
on
saying.
What we saw. All right, so this is why I'm saying there's still an issue. Like you're going in now, you have Judge in left, Soto in right, and Dominguez in center. That's a bad defensive outfield. Bad. Defensive outfield.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
You upgraded with Jazz at second, sure. Who's now? I would think first base or third base because of Soto. Maybe you sign one of the two.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And both one are terrific, two. You know, defensive players.
And then you can have LeMahieu on the other side of it.
No. You might have Peraza. I mean, not necessarily. Well, you
Peraza
might have a younger body out there.
Peraza could be a depth piece, but you don't think LeMahieu's going to be on the team? They're going to cut him now?
I think he's going to be on the team, but I think that they know, dude. He's shot. He's crawling to the finish line.
Stan's going to be on the team?
Probably.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's the same. And that's even if you bring Soto back and bring in, let's just say, Bregman, hypothetically.
Okay, but it's not exactly the same. Because think about it. It's not the same because by Jazz going to second, boom, defensive upgrade. Yeah. If it's Walker or it's not going to be and if they have Soto. I give you that. Walker or Bregman, significant defensive upgrade. Mm-hmm. Significant.
Okay, so let's go Bregman.
That's two spots in the infield right away.
Yeah. I mean, they had Jazz this year.
But they didn't play him at his best position.
Yeah. Okay.
This is all under the pretense of him going to second, which is where he belongs.
Defensively wasn't the only issue that they had. They had defensive issues with Jazz, but also you're losing. Look at what Gleyber did in the postseason. Who's doing that?
Hitting, you mean?
Yeah.
He hit pretty well.
Offensively. Right. So Jazz offensively was a zero.
Well, Bregman's a winning player.
Okay. Well, yeah,
he's a winning player.
All right. But you're still kind of like still getting, it's kind of a wash there. And then you're relying again on Judge, Dominguez, Soto in the outfield. You have Stanton and LeMahieu still in this factor. Like, the pitching is fine. I think the pitching will be okay.
Yep.
And they'll figure that out.
And you can get somebody midseason if you have to.
But this is basically what we're looking at for the Yankees, which is why I think that Stanton is a big problem. Get rid of him, bring in somebody else. Get rid of LeMahieu, bring in somebody else. Like, you're spending a lot. You're asking a lot. Maybe make a trade here or there, which they could do. But if it's under the assumption that they bring Soto back and they don't have much room to work with and it's just going to be Walker or Bregman,
yep.
In that scenario, you're probably going to have LeMahieu and Stanton back. And in any scenario, realistically, it's probably going to be Stanton and LeMahieu back. And to me, that's just not good enough. It's the same thing.
Hey, listen,
or Judge and left. Like, at least if Stanton's out of the way, BT, mm-hmm. you could make a case where you have, all right, Judge, Soto, between the two of them, right field, DH, maybe a little
or
left.
Or you could play Judge and center, then give a day off the next game, DH. Yeah, you can give him 30 DH games.
If you needed to do that, fine.
Yeah.
You could get a defensive center fielder, but you don't have to use him every day.
Well, they had
day.
One last year. He stunk.
Yeah, well.
That's what we thought they got. I got a question for the Yankees. Honestly, do you want to win? Do you want to win?
And if they
do you want to win?
And if so?
If you want to win, then you cannot have DJ and Stanton and some of these base cloggers playing important roles on the team. It's that simple.
Agreed.
Figure it out.
BT and Sal on the Fan or Friends of Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Aaron's in Tom's River. What's up, Aaron?
How's it going, BT and Sal?
Good.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up?
Thank you for having me on. So I'm a Met fan, and I'm really sick of the whole rhetoric that was started by Sherman and continued by Kelly. I think that was a really low-class move. When you think about it, and you guys have said this a lot of times, the Yankees are not a great defensive team. Evan made this point in the afternoon that they sort of remind us of the 2015 Mets. And fine, that's part of who they are. Not every team is a great defensive team. They didn't get to where they were as a great defensive
team. Dodgers are pretty good. They're champions.
So that's terrific. They lost the World Series, in which they actually did not play terrible in, and it was a pretty tight World Series. And we're taking garbage, and I'm not even a Yankee fan, but some guy, Joe Kelly, is going to come and sort of be arrogant after some. You're talking about a Game 5 in which their only earned runs were two sack flies.
Yeah, but, so Aaron, hold on. But why did some of the understood. But part of the reason why the Dodgers had a bunch of sack flies in the series is because they ran the bases better and put themselves in a position to get on third base with less than two outs where you can score via a sack fly.
BT, again, they got beat by the better team. And I'm not saying that the Dodgers are – the Yankees are inferior. I'm not saying that the Dodgers are worse than the Yanks. Yeah. I'm just saying that this whole negative vibe that sort of has come out is really – it came about through a really unprofessional way. I can't remember anything.
I disagree. But Aaron, it's not true. We've been talking about it all year long.
True. I'm not arguing on that point. Well, Yankees are not a great defensive team. But to sort of put it in a way where it's not the same playing field, which that's what I'm sort of hearing, and it's been like sort of like a Yankee bashing fest, which coming from a Met fan, I can't believe I'm actually on here defending the Yankees. I'm not saying that there's not much they can do to fix up, but you're talking about a team that very easily could have been in Game 6 or 7 of that World
Series. And very easily could have lost to the Guardians.
Right.
Or maybe the Royals.
And thanks for the call. I get what he's saying.
Like, I mean, I do too, but I don't think it fits here.
But it's the same. But again, we're having the same conversation as we did a couple years ago. We're in 2022, a Yankees team that I know you and I, even though we weren't together, looked at them the same way, saying, they're not that good. I don't care how they started looking like the 98 Yankees. That was the aberration. And then watch the second half. By the way, you could rewind it and go back to the 2021 season where they weren't very good. Made the postseason, quick out in that. They just barely made it. 2022, first half, great. Oh, my God, 98 Yankees. Second half, fall off the mat, but still were good enough in the first half to get in the postseason. Beat the Guardians, an AL Central
barely.
Team. Barely. Swept by the Astros. Yeah, but they made the ALCS.
I didn't say that. This team needs a complete overhaul. What I officially knew it.
And they didn't do it.
No.
And then what happened the next year? They didn't make the postseason.
Yeah, Judge did get hurt. Yeah. I think they probably squeeze in. They don't win anything, but I think they probably get a wild card if he doesn't get hurt in LA.
No major changes. And then what happened this year? They made a big change in getting Juan Soto, the best player that you can get. And look what happened. They still did not play. The Yankees from June on were hovering around 500. And then we're fortunate the way things broke for them. They beat Kansas City and Cleveland in the ALCS. And they got beat badly in the World Series. Like you could say, well, they were a game or two away from getting to six or seven games. They lost in five. They were lucky they didn't get swept. Dave Roberts gave a game away. Otherwise, they might have gotten swept.
Listen, we got a break here. But we all have that one thing that our wife gets, always gets on us about. You know, maybe sometimes you might have more.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, there's always one thing. And you're like, I'm not really wrong here, but I'm not going to battle this. This time the wife is right. Like the and we are, I guess in this instance, I guess the wives, even though it's a weird whatever. The Yankees are doing the same thing wrong over and over and over. And it's up the impetus and the onus is on them to change. We can't change. We could devote a month straight of what the Yankees need to fix. They need to realize that they gotta change something themselves, not by us saying it.
Right. We've been doing it for years.
It is time, Sal.
And they haven't changed. I agree. It's time. We have Brian Baldinger coming up at 12:40 as well. We'll go around the NFL with him. Then we have a new segment to debut on BT and Sal coming up at 1:20, where we look at the week in review in the NFL. Looking forward to that. Did you hear, BT, that Hoff was cheating on us last night?
I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I've got remnants of the story.
You were at the Johnny's game. By the way, thank you for the little zip-up that you brought. I look forward to wearing that.
You're welcome.
Maybe as soon as tomorrow, depending on the weather. Who knows? One day it's 80, one day it's 60, one day it's 30, one day it's 50. But anyway, Hoff was out with the other show last night.
Boomer and Geo.
No, not Boomer and Geo. I don't think they would invite Hoff necessarily, but he did get invited. I mean, they don't invite anybody. he did get invited by Evan. Hoff, can you clear this up? You got invited by Evan to go into a suite at the Nets game.
Yeah, the Nets suite. It was nice.
And who else was there?
Sean.
Sean Marash, yes. Also part of the Afternoon Drive show.
Mm-hmm.
Was Tiki and Loogie there as well?
Neither of them were in appearance.
Is that why you got the invite?
Yeah, I think that Tiki and Louie got the first dibs. Neither could go, so I got asked.
Did Evan score the basketball? Like, does he do that at these games?
I actually that question because I was surprised. There was nothing in front of him. He says sometimes he goes through and keeps rotations down. Like he'll have like a
good God.
Well, the reason I asked is because you're in a suite. Evan is more of a seats guy, not a suite guy.
He is. That's
so
true.
So in the suite, like what you should be doing is...
drinking and eating.
Yeah, and mingling, whatever. Was there anybody famous in your suite? Like Jay Wow or somebody?
We were there.
And
the
nobody else?
No.
Okay. That was it? Just the three of you?
Well, no. There was a couple other people that were there. I'm not sure if they were... sponsors.
Is it a WFAN suite?
Should it be. It is, dude. Yes.
Why don't we go to that?
Well, we can go whenever we want. I just don't want to go.
Oh, and
watch the Nets.
Can we get into that?
That's a little tougher.
What do you mean? We can go whenever we want. Nets, Knicks.
Well,
we're the Knicks fans here.
No, that's different. I mean, Nets, everybody else?
Marash and Evan are Nets fans.
I would say that you guys should go because it's a really nice suite. It's better look. It's better than the last one. So they move suites because you've been to the old one.
I have
It was
been.
Good. This is a better angle. It's nicer, and the food was great.
But you know
and
what? What happens at these
things? I don't like Barclays Center, though.
I mean, I really don't.
It was packed last night. It was packed.
Really?
That's even less incentive to go. I don't love people anymore.
I mean, but we're talking about the Nets and we're talking about the Grizzlies. And it was a
John Morant, man.
Yeah.
I mean.
What made Evan, Evan goes all of them. I'm surprised you went. Now, here's the issue that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Generally on these things, you know how it is. Like, you go out with a couple of guys from work and what do you think you're doing?
A couple drinks, hanging out.
All right, but and what are you talking about generally?
Well, it depends who you're out with.
And, well, with these three guys... You know, work conversation probably comes up.
I'm sure.
Now, you're on our show. I know you do the podcast with Evan Hoff, but was there WFAN smack talk going on?
You think that I was talking about you two? Is that what you're asking?
I'm not asking you the question.
I'm just saying.
The answer was 100%.
Yeah. ripping us to Evan and Mirage.
No, no way.
I can do the midday show. Sal and BT stink. I can do the midday.
That's
that
Mirage.
Sounds like Sean, actually.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, that was my Mirage.
You got invited too,
by the way, Sal. You said, you know what I said?
No, I turned it down. I had a loyalty to my partner. If BT can't go, I can't go.
No, well, you had a loyalty to your kid.
Oh, well, yes, I did have something to do at home. Otherwise, I might But at least if I went, it would have been you and me, and then them to like our show, you and I.
I assumed you were going to say yes.
I don't know. You don't
You're
have
always
issue
looking
with this
to do things. I have no issue with this. I really wouldn't even cross my mind to think that it was untoward or below board on Hoff's part. Honestly, it wouldn't. Like, no.
All right, so more of a less of a show thing and more of a station thing.
More of a station thing. I mean, think about when we go to the Islanders game. Hoff wasn't with us. He could be saying the same. We're hanging out with Gio.
Well, but that was a station thing. This is like Evan. See, Evan invited his show.
Okay.
Evan, Tiki, Marash, and Loogie.
Yeah.
And then two of the four couldn't go, and then he went to Hoff.
Yeah. And you know who didn't get invited from this show?
Who?
Dove.
Oh, well, that's... Everybody just knows Dove's not going to go anywhere.
Dove's busy.
Yeah, Dove's got stuff to do.
We were all busy, but I elected to not see my family to go to the Nets game.
And how'd that work out?
It was great. I had a great time.
By the way, 2 days before he goes to Germany to further not see his family.
When are you leaving for Germany?
Thursday night.
Are you doing anything fun there or is it all business? Like, I'll ask you the same question I asked Jermaine. And I know he said he's going for a win. What are you going for?
I mean, I know he's going to educate himself at the the camp, stuff like that, but I'm probably just going to go drink.
Oh, really? Some beer? Some different
beer?
Yeah,
Saturday?
No, but just good beer in Germany.
Yeah, no. Saturday, I'm supposed to be able to have a day to myself.
Nice. Okay.
I'm not sure exactly.
What time is it? It's actually, 9:30? Yeah, 9:30 on local time, right?
Right, so I think it's like 4:30 over there, something like that. I don't know.
Okay. All right, which stadium again? It's in Munich?
It's in Germany.
I know.
I haven't actually looked at the details.
Jesus.
You're just looking forward to sleeping. He'll be in the hotel room.
Is it a nice hotel? It's got to be.
Yeah. It's always nice. Yeah. They hook it up.
You get a per diem?
Hey,
you hooked up?
It'll be fine.
I couldn't say this to Jermaine, but I'm going to say it to you.
No, don't come back without a win. Yeah.
Don't come back. If the Giants lose that game, like you cannot lose to the Panthers. They're trying to win the game. It'd be one thing if they went with a backup or something. Mm-hmm. They're trying to win the game. You can't lose to the Panthers. Panthers just traded Jonathan Mingo, I guess, to the Cowboys.
Well, I got a question for everybody here. Yeah. So if I agree with Dable staying with Jones, at least for this game, because that's not why they lost. You and I talked about this. Jones was pretty good in certain spots, 2-point conversions aside. If it is a very lackluster first half performance by Jones, you think he gets benched at the half?
I don't think so. It's a great question. I don't think that. I mean, it's possible. I don't think they're going to bench him in game. I think they're going to make the move afterward and say that we're going to move on from Jones. Like when they're ready to make that decision, whenever it may be.
They have a bye right after that. Do they elect to take their bye after that, Hoff? Do the Giants have a bye after Germany? Yeah. They do,
we've
right?
We've seen lackluster halves from Jones before.
That's the smart thing to do, by the way. To take a bye after you go to Europe.
Yeah.
Jets.
Yeah, Jets didn't do that.
I know.
You think that he could get benched in game? And then go back? Maybe the better way is if he gets benched in game, do they go back to him again?
I think if and when they bench Daniel Jones, that's it.
Yeah, I agree. Because they didn't do that earlier in the year. When they took him out, went with Locke. Like, if they do that now.
That's it. You can't fire that too many times. Yeah. That would be the end.
Right. So maybe that is in game, but I do think it's going to be more of a week-to-week thing. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back. We'll talk to Brian Baldinger about both the Giants, Jets, and more importantly, the rest of the NFL teams that are actually relevant. Sadly for New York, we have two teams. Although if the Jets win this game.
That's right. 4-6. Some other teams losing. They jumped up 6 spots last week in the AFC. I'm getting excited. I told you about that. All right, we'll get to Baldy coming up next with BT and Sal.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Baldy, last we spoke, you were on your way to the Jets and Texans game on Halloween Thursday night. The Jets actually got a win. Can their season be saved?
I mean, they got to go to Arizona, who's playing good football right now for the next game, and that won't be easy. But, I mean, if you start stacking some wins at this time of the year and get healthier, which they should do, they certainly have a chance. So, yeah, I mean, this thing can always get turned around, especially if the quarterback plays like he did in the second half and the receivers respond like they did. The backup offensive lineman played really well in there when they got their chance. So, yeah, it can turn around. You know, I think that there's still hope for any Jet fan out there after beating a good football team like that.
Yep. Listen, Baldy, I don't want to overreact to the win. Yeah. From a defensive perspective, even though the Jets had 8 sacks, their top two receivers were out. Their offensive line is trash in terms of rankings. You know, second most pressures allowed, most sacks allowed. So the Jets defense went to town against a team that's pretty bad up front. But what switched where for the first half offensively, Jets did nothing, and then all of a sudden they looked downright, you know, dangerous? What happened?
Well, I mean, the first touchdown obviously looked like, you know, Jet football with Malachi Corley, you know, drops the ball in the reverse, you know, at the goal line. They can't score. But I think they just, you know, the offensive line, like Max Mitchell went in there at left guard and, you know, Olu was in there at right guard and those guys played really good up front. They played better up front. They protected Aaron a lot better, especially against, you know, 3 really good pass rushers. Will Anderson went out of the game. That helped them a lot to be able to function because he's an elite player. So, you know, they were down to basically Danielle Hunter and Danico Autry. But, you know, losing Anderson really helped the Jets as far as just having time to throw the football. And then, you know, Garrett made a sensational play, a highlight catch, which, you know, I mean, it shouldn't have been that difficult, I don't think. But he made the catch. And, you know, they made the plays that they had to make there in the second half.
Wait, what do you mean it shouldn't have been that difficult? Like, you thought he threw a little Hollywood on it, or it should have been a better throw?
No. He made a great play. I thought Aaron could have thrown it earlier.
Got it.
And not made it so difficult for him to have to do that in the back of the end zone.
Understood. All right, so listen, I'd be lying if I said schematically, I really fully am in tune with what the Cardinals are doing. I don't think a lot of Jet fans are. I know Murray can run. We all know that. What are they bringing to the table? How does the Jets defense match up against the Cardinals and vice versa?
Well, I mean, they're a running football team. James Conner right now is having an excellent season. His best year as a pro right now is he's averaging 4.5 yards a carry, but they run the ball. One of those teams that they've run it actually one more play than they've thrown it. Kyler is doing a good job of taking care of the football. He's only thrown 3 interceptions, you know, in the first 9 games right now. And they've been defensively, you're not going to see great stats, but they got 3 young corners that played excellent last week against Chicago, and they made life really difficult. And so they've won 3 in a row right now, and they've beaten 3 teams that have good rosters. They beat the Chargers. You know, they had already beaten the Rams and 49ers. And so, you know, to beat the Chargers, the Dolphins with Tua, and then take Chicago apart like they did, they've got some impressive wins right now. But they run the ball very well, and defensively, they're just really scrappy. They've got the youngest defensive coordinator in the league, and Nick Raelis, and like he has these timely blitzes that have affected some really good quarterbacks in this league.
BT and Sal, we're talking with Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Baldy, how excited are you to wake up early and watch the Giants and Panthers in Germany Sunday morning?
I'm definitely going to have it on. I'll be in Tampa, you know, doing a game against the 49ers, but I'm going to watch it only because the Panthers actually have a couple kernels of things that are, I know Bryce Young isn't very good, but they can run the ball really well. And Chuba Hubbard is a good back. They do a couple things pretty good. So I'm going to see if the Giants, who, you know, play really good at times and then they just completely fall apart at times, see if they can just put it together for 4 quarters and look like, you know, they had a chance to beat Washington the other day. They just can't put it together.
It's infuriating. They should be better than 2-7.
They should be.
I defend Dable every week. They're competitive in the majority of the games, and yet they keep losing these games. I just can't take it anymore. Did you have issue, Baldy, with neighbors' comments and behavior on the sideline? I don't know if you saw it. Post-game comments questioning the offensive play calling and then you know, fraternizing with Daniels during the game?
I can't imagine certain coaches that have coached the Giants that would okay the fraternizing during a game. Like I there's time after the game to go do that. I know that all those kids in LSU are all really, really close. I saw Brian Thomas Jr. in Jacksonville the other day. He's looking at the screen, watching the game, and seeing how, you know, Malik is playing and how Jaden is playing. So they're close. But, I mean, the guy didn't have a catch until the third quarter. He's got 55 catches. They don't even target him in the first half of the game. Like, I had a problem with that. And so if he says it, he says it. Maybe it should be, you know, done in-house with Coach Dable, but I had a problem with it myself when I'm like, okay, I know they're running the ball really good, and Tyrone Tracy's doing well, and Daniel Jones is running good, but I had a problem with not targeting him at all until the third quarter.
Yeah, understood, and that's what he was basically saying. So here's what I find interesting. Like, generally, and the Giants are 2-7. I mean, they certainly could beat the Panthers. Hopefully they do. They're going nowhere this year. Everybody knows it, and Daniel Jones will be gone next year. I think everybody knows that as well. But, like, when a season goes off the rails like it has so far for the Giants, one of the saving graces is, all right, we've got this unknown that we could put at quarterback and maybe spark some interest with the fans. Like, is there enough intrigue with Drew Locke that, you know, because we've seen DeVito, that can at least maybe he's worth taking a look at, a real look at for the future, or no?
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, he's his third team. I think he started 3 games in the last 3 years. 4 years, whatever. He hasn't played a lot of football. And when he did play, he wasn't very good. Like, I just don't think there's – I mean, you can fall in love. You can see his arm. He's got a good arm. Had a good arm coming out of college. But, I mean, he has not been a winning quarterback in this business. He got beat out cleanly by Geno Smith when he first went to Seattle. They made the right choice there. And, you know, he had a chance to back up a couple games there, a couple games in Denver. But I don't think that that's – I don't believe that that's the future.
We are through 9 weeks now, Baldy, in the NFL. What's the biggest surprise around the league to you?
There's a couple. I mean, obviously, Kansas City's still undefeated and only getting better. And the way that they just keep adding to the roster, you can see what DeAndre Hopkins can do for that team already. But, you know, there's a trend in this league right now that's interesting to me. Almost every good team in this league right now is running it more than they're throwing it. They're doing it in Baltimore. They're doing it in Philly. They're doing it in Washington. They're doing it in Detroit. You can go through, they're doing it in San Francisco. Around the league right now, in Arizona, they're running it more than they're throwing it. Almost every team with a winning record right now is running the ball more than they're throwing it. And it's not just because they're running it at the end of the game with the lead. They're a run-first team. And so that's what Detroit, Washington, Philly, that's what they all are right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's a trend that I don't think is going to go away in the second half of the season.
I'm going to throw a couple teams at you. You tell me if you can envision them being in the Super Bowl, okay?
All right.
You don't have to elaborate too much, but I just want to get a sense of how you feel. Sure. Bills.
Yes, because the offense makes a lot of sense right now. They're a run-first team. Joe Brady is doing an excellent job in the passing game, creating space for his receivers. It's kind of like point and shoot. The guy's going to be open the way they're creating offense for Josh. And then defensively, they're just a talented group that's, you know, they make it difficult. They make you earn everything that you get.
Steelers.
Yes, because I think Russell Wilson, they play against Baltimore next week in Pittsburgh. That game is just played on a different level. It's just a violent level of football. But the Steelers have what it takes right now, especially if Russell Wilson keeps coming on, to be very competitive in January.
Commanders.
I don't think they're good enough defensively, but offensively, you can't get that quarterback or that team to make a mistake. They've turned it over 3 times in 9 games. They just don't beat themselves. And when you do that, they've got 2 games with Philly coming up. You'll know a lot more about them, but they don't beat themselves right now, and that makes you a dangerous team.
Falcons.
They can. I mean, Bijan had a great game last week, and he's complimentary to what Kirk is doing. They're getting better as the season's going on. I'm not sure defensively if they're quite there yet in a big game in a postseason.
Yeah, and obviously I left off a bunch of obvious ones like Kansas City, Baltimore.
How about the Jets? Come on, BT.
Well, that's the most obvious.
Boldy, what do you think? Jets could be a Super Bowl team if they get in the postseason or what?
Let's see if they can get by Arizona first. You know, and if they can play well against Indianapolis and Seattle at home. Let's talk at Thanksgiving, see where they're at.
Who's the biggest threat to Kansas City in your mind?
Ravens.
Well, I think, you know, Baltimore can certainly threaten them. I think Lamar is just playing better and better. I mean, he's fantastic right now. You know, I think Pittsburgh, because defensively, I think they could give them some trouble. And look, Buffalo and Kansas City is always a good matchup, no matter where you play it. It's a fun matchup. 2 great quarterbacks. They've gone to it toe-to-toe in the playoffs before. It's been, you know, they haven't been able to get past Kansas City in the playoffs, but they certainly can compete with them.
Yeah, Detroit, to me, I mean, I know, I guess you were just going over AFC there, but I think Detroit, you look at the NFC, the landscape of a Baldy, I know there's so much parity in the league, but man, who's beating Detroit in the NFC right now?
Well, I mean, right now, they went to Green Bay and took them apart, you know, in the rain in Lambeau, and so they can play indoors, they can play outdoors. That was a nor'easter up there in Green Bay they played through. They can run the ball as well as anybody. Their offensive line is maybe the Eagles or Detroit back and forth is the best in football. And the quarterback right now is playing, you know, MVP good right now. So, and they're going to get Jameson Williams back from a little suspension or whatever. So, I mean, they're dangerous. They're flat out dangerous.
All right, Baldy, we got to run. But before I let you do, trading deadline a couple of hours away. Biggest name that gets dealt. Hit us with a good one.
No, I think Jadeveon Clowney would improve any team right now. He played on the number one defense in Baltimore last year. He had 9.5 sacks. He's a great athlete who plays hard, and he's a good teammate. He would improve anybody's defensive line right now.
All right.
Thank you, Baldy. We appreciate it as always. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks, buddy.
My pleasure, guys. You bet.
All right, that was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo, game day, be delicious. Fun to go around the league a little bit with him there. We usually don't do that because we're focused on both the Jets and the Giants, but right now...
We gotta look for content.
Well, I mean, the Giants... Look, there's stuff there, obviously, but it's the same old stuff outside of the neighbors, which has been new, outside of the neighbors' comments and all that, which I thought was an interesting answer from Baldy.
I did, too. It was more wrapped up in the way the Giants didn't utilize him, more than the interaction with Jaden Daniels, maybe some of the questioning of the play calling. By the way, if the Jets win this weekend, you're going to start getting... Like, if the Jets do beat the Cardinals,
I don't know if they're going to, especially
because... I'm saying if.
Yeah.
Where are you at?
Well,
we come in here Monday.
The schedule after that...
softens up a little bit.
Yes, I'd be excited about them. Again, I'm using your word, hopeful, as opposed to, like, logical or pragmatic. But they certainly should beat the Colts, which got flexed that game now, not a Sunday night game anymore.
Yeah.
Seattle, Geno Smith back to stinking again. Mm-hmm. Miami still... I think if they win this game, one, two...
Got the bye
three,
coming up soon.
Four. I think they're going to get five of the final... How many are we at here? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. I think they're getting 5 of 7.
That way, five of seven only gets them 8 wins, though.
No, if they win this game.
Oh, gotcha. So 9 and 8, so then you hold out.
The 6 and 2
gets you to 9 and 8.
Right, so if they win this, I think they're getting that 5 and 2.
As
far as, will that be enough?
If they get it, any chance for 7 and 1? Miami has not looked good with Tua.
I think that worried me a little bit. I think that's too much to ask.
I mean,
you got to beat Miami twice.
Yeah.
And you're also talking about beating, Jaguars can be dangerous there. Home against the Rams. I think you're pushing it with that. But
I mean, I'm pushing it with this.
Yeah, I know. I get it. Did I reread the outro to that?
I believe you did.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, we'll come back. We'll get back to your calls on the baseball stuff.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.